like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting back to order after a brief recess. We've been discussing the FY19 budgets with the Osage Nation Controller, Ms. Fox, and Assistant Chief Redcorn, and I believe we had some good discussion about direction that we need to go with this, with these appropriation bills. And we're going to move on to agenda item number 6, which is review of appropriated revenues report. And we have our budget analyst, Ms. Sneed, with us, and I'm going to give you the floor. Do we have it up here that we can call it up and take a look at it? I believe that we're hearing that a special session is upcoming, quite possibly, so I want this committee to review where we are exactly on our tribal revenue that we have remaining in the treasury for appropriation. And this is a final document too, it's after all of our appropriations through the SHISO session, correct?
Right.
Ms. Sneed, you have the floor.
So after confirming with the controller where we stand for FY19, in our three different funds listed here, for our general fund, we have 519,000. I can't even read it from here.
518,960.
Oh, 282.
Oh, sorry, here. It's okay. So, in the general fund, we have 518,960. In the economic development fund, we have nothing left to appropriate. And then in the general, or the retained revenue fund, we have 428,436 left for appropriations.
Thank you. Okay, and that's taking into account all the appropriations that we made during the SHISO session. Ms. Fox, since you're at the table with us, do you know if you had time to look at this and reconcile, or is this the first time you've seen this document?
We're reconciled except for the merit.
Okay.
Because if we are going to go by the 1851, it's 171,424, and we have the 168,654. So are we changing it to 171?
Okay. Any questions about this report from the table?
Did it include our 43,000 we just got from the funds?
Okay. That's a good point. So I'm going to put plus 43K.
It should not. I don't believe it's in there.
Okay. So we have a plus value there. We'll have to, once a legislative fix happens, we'll see it. It'll reflect on the bottom line. Okay, great. Okay, any more questions? Do you have any thing you want to point out to us at all on this? Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? All right, we're going to move on to agenda item number 7, which is discussion of the Budget Control Act. Mr. Potts has legislation filed that sits within the jurisdiction of this committee. Although we don't do legislation in the interim, we can study and talk about the bill, make suggestions and improvement. Do we have a copy of the bill available to us, Ms. Merle?
What's the bill number?
What's your bill number, Mr. Potts? Can you recall?
Yes. One of those.
Is it 57 or 52?
I don't think we have a committee sub,
Is there a committee sub on it?
Yes, there has been a committee sub adopted.
Are there amendments to the committee sub?
No, sir.
And the number is what?
1857.
Okay. So that's, we're going to take a look at the text of that and maybe... Yeah, let's go ahead and look at the committee substitute.
Do you want that mouse? Yeah. Oh, I was touching it. I'm sorry.
Just hit enter on my keyboard. Do it again.
There we go. All right, Mr. Potts, you have the floor. Let's have some discussion here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Let me see how much time we have left to our meeting. We have about an hour, 50 minutes. Whether we get through all the rest of these, I think they all work together, or they all play off of each other. So I will give you the floor for sure this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is the Budget Control Act. Naturally, I felt a need for this legislation after the constitutional amendment in March of 2017, which passed with 82% of the vote from the Osage people that said we want a budgetary process in law governed by the principles of transparency and accountability. So I believe that this legislation does that, that fulfills the constitutional requirement that's been mandated by the people. And that's what I hope to be able to do here. Section 2 of the law amends 15 ONC 1A101, which is the definition section of Osage law that deals with the budgetary process. So what you can see here is just an updating of a few terms. We can go through these one by one, if that is acceptable to everybody. Annual budget means the total annual appropriation of all non-tribal revenue and the tribal revenue from tribal operations for a given fiscal year beginning October 1st. Simply clarifying some language that I know that we've always had issues with as budget analysts and then moving into a new role as a member of Congress. Believe it or not, that helps. We are required by the Constitution to approve an annual budget, so it first helps to define what an annual budget is. Budgetary outlay. I know the Assistant Chief has expressed the need for a change in this, and I agree. Budgetary outlay means the amount of anticipated revenue for a given fiscal year. That is synonymous in my books. It should say expenditures, in my opinion. But as revenues always equal expenditures in our budgets, that's why it says revenue. But I do agree that that needs to say expenditures. So budgetary outlay is the amount of anticipated expenditures for a given fiscal year.
So you're saying you would strike revenue and put expenditures
yes.
in there?
Okay. Can I clarify my opinion?
Assistant Chief Franklin?
How can the word expenditures mean anticipated revenue? Isn't anticipated revenue just anticipated revenue? This led to a lot of confusion because expenditures are something that happens on the backside of an appropriation process, whereas anticipating revenue is something that occurs on the front side of the process. And that's terribly afraid that until you right that ship, there's going to be a fair amount of confusion for anyone trying to familiarize themselves with this terminology.
I would agree, Madam Chair. I don't know. I don't know congressional rule regarding an interim study on a specific piece of legislation. I know we're not supposed to consider legislation during the interim. Can we make amendments? Do we note for amendments to be
made?
No,
you make a note for amendments to be made or to put into your committee substitute, but we can't take any action on this legislation.
And I obviously fully understand that. I think I just wanted to, since I'm being invoked, go ahead and express my concern in a very specific way. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so.
I'd like to get clear on it. So you're talking about this definition in its state right now, but if budget outlay means the amount of anticipated expenditures for a given fiscal year, that would correct that. Assistant Chief.
No. A budget outlay and an expenditure occur on the backside of the budgetary process.
Yes.
anticipated revenue, determining some anticipated revenue is something that occurs on the front end of a process. That's my concern.
So, if I may explain, this is a new measure in a Budget Control Act. What this is attempting to do is what we've tried to do in the past and say, by congressional resolution, this is the amount of money you as an entity of the Osage Nation government can anticipate spending in the next given fiscal year. So, in addition to projected revenue, which we will continue to do through the Budget Control Act, the Budget Control Act also allows the Congress to establish these budgetary outlays, which are the anticipated expenditures for a given fiscal year. So Congress will direct and say, here's the amount of money, X, and this branch of government has Y to spend, this branch of government has Z to spend, this branch of government has W to spend. So a budgetary outlay is the amount of anticipated expenditures. And we find this definition in Chapter 2, 17A, Section 622 of U.S. federal law. Budgetary outlay means, with respect to a fiscal year, expenditures and net lending of funds under budget authority during such year. So all this is trying to do is define what a budget outlay is, to say, when Congress says the budgetary outlay for the executive branch is X, that's the amount that we expect the executive branch to stay under or at when they submit their budget for the next fiscal year, and the legislative and judicial branch.
I had Congresswoman Stabler and then Assistant Chief.
That answered it. I was just going to.
Okay, Assistant Chief.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it this way. It sounds confrontational. I don't mean for it to be. What happens when we submit another budget that doesn't do that?
That's a problem. I believe that the Constitution says that the Congress is charged with passing an annual budget. If we go through the process of saying this is what we have to spend and this is how we hope for it to be spent, I would hope that we can work together to understand that that's for a reason.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
I think that's what we do every year during the budget process. And the Constitution speaks to this issue when the Constitution says it shall not exceed projected revenue. The budget shall not exceed projected revenue. So the Constitution already does this. And we have successfully, every year, come up with something that works without a prior limitation. Now, there's been, for those of you who have been here for a really long time, there's been a budget limitation attempted by resolution in more than one session. And those have not lasted generally past the submission of the budget, because if for no other, this isn't about separation of powers, this is because things change. So I think we have an issue right up front with this. We're going to have to explore it further in terms of constitutionality, because the Constitution sets the limit.
Congressman Potts.
I would agree that the Constitution sets the limit, and I would agree that this is the process that we try to follow every year. I will also state that the Constitution says that this process is supposed to be set out in law, and we don't have that law. This does that. I would also state, and I wish Ms. Revard were still here, but I know Mr. Johnson can attest, every year, we have a problem of, we passed a resolution, but the executive branch would say we didn't know how much to anticipate from the legislative branch, or we didn't know how much to anticipate from the judicial branch, so we just submitted a budget that we felt was right. This is an attempt to get ahead of that problem and state, here's what this budget needs to be under for each branch of government to be able to be funded under projected revenue. That's all this is trying to do. It's not an attempt to control. It's an attempt to head off at the pass that argument that we've had every year of, we didn't know what the legislative branch was going to submit their budget for.
One more comment.
This budget resolution
in the projected revenue resolution will state, here's the dollar figure you have to come in under for us all to be able to stay under projected revenue.
And I'd like to say one other thing too, that the Constitution also says that this body enacts the necessary laws to bring the provisions of the Constitution forward. And that's always a clause, always an article, always a number in the Constitution that people like to leave out, that we do have the authority to bring necessary law to fruition, to carry out the provisions of the Constitution, which would be making sense of a budget cycle. Assistant Chief Redcorn.
I think my final comment is, in my mind, just so you know, we all understand, and this is a really good, I understand how you're thinking, that's what this meeting's for. Just so you understand how we're thinking, there's the limitation in the Constitution, and then there's the actual budget process. And we think those two have worked so far, and they're working better every year, just like that. I think our suggestion as an alternative, instead of doing this once a year, you've heard me say this 85 times already, a five-year rolling budget plan that we all agree to does a lot of this work without raising any constitutional issues in our mind. This latter suggestion is something we can fully support. We're just staking out some ground here, and I understand. And this is a really good meeting to have, just so we can say these things and maybe get somewhere.
Let me ask one question out of that. So this idea of a five-year rolling budget process, is this going to be just something that's an idea we agree to by MOU, or is it going to be set out in law? Because these are things we can talk about that we can put into the law.
Speaking for myself, I need to check with Chief on that very point. But on that very point, I would like to see the plan be required in law. That's what I'd like to see. Jointly. All of us. Together. We anticipate over the next 5 years we do this, because I'll go back, and this is not a critique of the detail of this, but I'm going to repeat a point. No organization with $80 million in expenditures, federal combined with tribal, should be planning a year at a time.
But they should at least plan a year at a time, and I think that's what this section attempts to do. Congressman
Potts. I don't think it's a plan.
I believe that the state of Oklahoma, as well as 49 other states, pass annual budgets, and their revenue far exceeds $80 million. I believe about $7 billion.
$7 billion this year jumped up.
On an annual
$500 million plan.
And they have provisions such as budgetary outlays. In addition, the federal government of the United States has budgetary outlays that say each department can anticipate this level of funding for the next fiscal year. And that's what allows them to continue to operate. I would also state that, yes, I agree, we have gotten better at this process of staying under projected revenue every year, but I submit that we're getting better at that because of informal conversations, as I believe Ms. Rebard would attest, that occur before the before the budgetary session between myself as budget analyst at times, Ms. Fox, treasurer at the time, Ms. Rebard, and Mr. Zahn, a budgetary team. I don't think that those should be informal discussions with fingers crossed that we come in under projected revenue. I think that putting it into a projected revenue resolution that says, here's what Congress thinks, not what, here's what our new budget analyst thinks you need to stay under for projected revenue. I think that that's a more open and transparent process, which is what I believe the voters have said we need in a constitutional amendment.
Congresswoman Stabler.
In the federal system, you are working on some multiple years, but not out 5 years. Each year where we received inquiries, surveys, provided detailed reports on what was going on currently so they could plot out at least 2 years in advance. So because we have the same problem. They're waiting on taxes and things to come in. We're waiting on casino dollars to come in. So you can't do more than 1 year at a time as far as appropriating and setting it down. But we can plan for the future, and we can continue to gather information so that it will bring us all closer together to the understanding. So I'm for at least a two-year projection.
Congressman Potts, and then I'll get Assistant Chief.
Further down in this legislation, it allows for, I'm looking for it real quick, so please bear with me. The Osage Nation Congress shall provide further direction for planning purposes to the nation's branches of government by establishing anticipated budget outlays for the preceding 5 fiscal years. So this law would give the Congress, subject to signature from the chief, the ability to say for the next 5 years, anticipate this level of revenue. And then we'll update that the next year. We'll say, okay, something catastrophic happened. We're no longer going to be issuing car tags. That revenue is going to be hit. Plan accordingly. Or there's been an amendment to the permanent fund. $800,000 will now just revert back to the interest earned will revert to the permanent fund. So next fiscal year, anticipate $800,000 less. So that the Congress is able to say a year in advance, you need to be planning for $800,000 less revenue next year. We don't get here on July 15th when you say, oh, we have this money included in here, we need $800,000. There's been a resolution of Congress to say, anticipate $800,000 less. And it's not just, we hope we remember. That's what Section CE2 would do of the Budget Control Act.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
5-year. There's nothing in any of that that addresses what just happened in Fairfax. There's nothing in any of that that addresses somebody's idea that X community needs X improvement or Y improvement. Nothing in there says how much we're going to spend on buying land. Nothing. That's just it. We pass this budget and about half our work is done. Then we spend the rest doing things that have nothing to do with operations. What the Constitution, what this right here addresses is operations. But there's all this other money that we never plan for. We don't plan capital assets. We don't plan land purchases. We don't plan very well for what we send to our enterprises.
You're singing my tune.
Yes, I am.
You're chirping
and
pretty too.
And that's what makes me hopeful that we can reach some common ground here, because this only we're only addressing half of our problem by this. A 5-year rolling financial plan addresses all of those things by category: capital asset, economic development, and that's where I hope we can get to. And I'm not trying to draw away from what Mr. Potts is trying to do to present his bill, but this is a real tangle of fishing line here that we're going to have to work really hard to get through. We have other issues with the bill. We can get on to those.
Congressman Potts.
CE1, budgetary outlay shall state in the amount of funding each branch of government shall budget for each respective year. That would give us the ability to say, next fiscal year or for the next 5 fiscal years, if we want to be that detailed, plan on spending 1.2% of projected revenue on capital assets.
So
that's what this bill is designed to do, so that we can start doing that.
Well, long before you got here and after you got here, we've had, and it's always just whatever suited us on the day we decided to do it, whether Congress's resolutions are binding or whether they're not binding. Now, your bill understands that resolutions either are binding or can be binding. Am I correct about that? Because we've had it both ways whenever it suited everybody.
Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree too.
I would agree.
Does your bill anticipate? Binding resolutions?
My hope would be that these resolutions are followed. I understand that they're not binding, but the need for planning
is absolutely there. Because one of the other.
That is provided by Osage law.
That's not the answer I was looking for. Is it a suggestion or is it a requirement in law? Your budget outlay, let's just call it a budget outlay for the benefit of clarity. Is your budget outlay a requirement in law or is it a suggestion?
I would say that's a requirement in law. I don't know. I haven't looked at the. We haven't
looked at the. That's not what Eli's saying, though. That's not what he's saying. He said suggestion. That's what
do
I heard.
I haven't.
That's what I heard.
We're not down into the body. And so did you just read what the body says? Is it the budget outlays passed by resolution?
Yes.
Okay. I would agree that. Why can't it be law?
Then it's law and not a resolution.
Right.
Based on all the congressional precedent that comes before it.
I think it needs to be passed out by law, Congressman Potts.
I'm not opposed to that, but I would humbly submit that we've been waiving.
Go ahead. Just trying to identify.
We've been waiving sovereign immunity by resolution with no force of law. That's what you're suggesting is the underlying unforeseen consequence of what you just said.
I don't even know what you said.
We waive sovereign immunity by resolution, not by act of law. So are waivers of sovereign immunity non-binding?
It's a really good question.
It's a really good question.
So if the executive...
all we've done is pick and choose. I'm asking. I'm not telling.
Right.
We've picked and chosen which we consider binding and which we haven't, which is not necessarily the best way to proceed.
I believe that where we could also provide some guidance and working with the executive branch is defining the types of resolutions that we can pass. Concurrent resolutions or simple resolutions that have the signature of the executive branch.
And while you're at it, please somewhere either stop using the word authorization or put it in law, because that's what the federal, if you're going to point to the federal government, that's what the federal government does. And we have used the word authorization with absolutely no basis in law since God was a boy.
Real quick.
Congressman Potts, I think we're getting really off the subject of the Budget Control Act, and I'll let you respond to that, but then we're going to get back on subject.
I would agree that the term authorization and appropriation need to be established in law. I've argued for that, and I have received resistance for that.
I'm sure you have.
from the executive branch. There is a basis for authorization and appropriation in Osage law. It has been established by, I believe at the time, Attorney General Jeff Jones. And it has been in every, to my knowledge, every piece of enacting legislation that appropriated funds. We have authorized and appropriated.
I just don't know what it means.
Okay, let's go ahead and get back to the budget outlay. I think we've decided there needs to be a change there. Projected revenue means...
Projected revenue means all anticipated revenue from funding sources in a single fiscal year. This amends.
I like that definition.
This amends the definition of projected revenue to exclude the balance of all funds. Every year we've had the fight on whether or not the permanent fund must be projected. I'd state that it does not. If you project $30 million 2 years in a row, you should anticipate that you have $60 million. We've never had $60 million in the permanent fund. So this removes the balance of revolving funds from projected revenue. Later on in the bill, actually right here, I believe, monies once appropriated into a revolving fund are not included in projected revenue, but they are available for expenditure according to the terms of the enacting law or law. So this is an attempt to legislatively stop the argument that we've had every year of whether or not revolving funds have to be included in a projected revenue for the Congress and the executive branch to be able to expend those funds. So.
Please continue.
See some questioning faces.
You do. Are funds in projected revenue and revolving funds mutually exclusive?
I would say yes, because your revolving funds are not subject to fiscal year limitations, and once appropriated to the revolving fund, can remain there till the end of time.
But they're subject to expenditure.
Correct.
So how does that match up if Congress is taking a simple idea out of the Constitution and saying, this meets this definition, but this does not. All of these other monies which we appropriate to spend on all of these different things are not included in that definition.
I would argue that that's where the clause in the Constitution that says that this Congress will pass with executive approval all laws necessary to execute the provisions of the Constitution. I believe it's necessary to establish that revolving funds are not annual anticipated funds.
We're going to disagree on that. Please continue.
Okay, we're going to disagree on what? Because we need to know about these disagreements. When these, to me,
yes,
are the points
do.
That
and
we
that's
need.
Why, that's
the points we need to
about these kinds of meetings.
Right. So I need to know more than that.
The Constitution uses a simple term of projected revenue. Congress is saying this is projected revenue, but this other money that's certainly revenue is not projected revenue.
So you would say fund balances are revenue? Is that what you're saying right now?
They have been up until today.
I'm not asking you, just on,
yes.
on pure, you believe that a fund is revenue. That's money that's been
we
sourced.
We can have a discussion.
That for that annual year. I disagree with that. It has been projected revenue at one point.
May I speak?
Certainly.
We may have a discussion about the, and I would need to look at the Constitution again, about the context of that statement in the Constitution as it relates to operating funds. We could have that conversation. So I'm throwing that in there as a caveat.
Congressman Potts.
The first definition that is amended is annual budget, means the total annual appropriation of all non-tribal revenue and tribal revenue for tribal operations for a given fiscal year.
I just need to see what the Constitution says about it. We can move on. Unless you want to stay here and investigate the Constitution on your bill's time. That's up to you.
You've done a lot of work to investigate it up until this point.
I don't doubt that.
And I don't see it as incredibly productive to send up, this is where we're going to disagree, without fully understanding this. I'm more than happy to meet with executive branch officials on this. More than happy to meet with my colleagues on this.
Good. It would have saved a lot of time if we'd done that beforehand, but now we're doing it now, which is better. So.
Okay. Revolving funds, or sorry, revenue failure, means revenue in the general treasury fall below 95% of the Board of Equalization certified estimate. This is something that other governments utilize. If we fall below 95% of projection, something happens at one of our casinos, revenue is impacted. This starts to give us the ability to enact certain emergency measures. This is something that I think has been needed. We've never anticipated a revenue shortfall. We have had them. And I think that it's time that we call it what it is. So, in addition, we define tribal operations. It means the Osage Nation branches of government, Osage Nation or Osage government entities, and Osage independent agencies performing a scope of work in which they are charged by the Constitution or Osage law.
We need to have a recess.
I'll make a motion for a recess.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? Seeing none? Is there something that we need to do differently here at this table?
I'm ready to move on to talk about the treasury bill and the retained revenue. I don't know